Started a series, The Armor of God. And God has something he wants each of us to wear. And this outfit, the armor of God, is so critical to each of our lives because it will make the difference between living a regular, ordinary life versus one that is marked by victory in our spirits. And so the armor of God is a big deal. So Pat somehow, some way, found a, it's for a kid, but she found a set of armor. And, you know, as we walk through each of our different pieces of armor, I'll use these. This is the breastplate, and there's a total of six pieces, and there's something called the belt of truth. And today we're going to be talking about this belt and how we are to put it on and how it sustains us in really difficult times. But I'd like for you to read with me the couple of verses in the very first part of the sermon listening guide. Let's read it together. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We learn that the armor of God, the definition is in your notes, is a wardrobe. It's a wardrobe that we must get dressed in to be victorious in life. And if you want to live a life that is unique and special and marked by a sense of victory, it takes the armor of God in and on your life to make that happen. We talked about last week how everybody, when you get up in the morning, you decide what you're going to wear. You're going to church, you say, well, I think this will work. If you're going to school, this. If you go to the golf course, if you go to a wedding, or if you go to the funeral, if you go to the beach, you dress appropriately and accordingly. The armor of God is an outfit that is needed every day. The reason is we are in a battle between the forces of good and evil. Last week we talked about Satan, who's a person, a created angel, that was fallen from heaven, took a third of the angels with him, and that is the demonic forces that are released into the life in the that we live in today. And so there's a battle going on between good, which is God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and evil, which is Satan and the forces of darkness, and we are in the battle. And so it explains a lot of things why life can be so difficult at times. We're in this sense of struggle. So here's a picture of the armor. There's a card that is on the offering box in the back or out in the foyer. Make sure you pick one of those up if you don't have one. Put it in your Bible. And as we journey through this study, I want you to look visually at that piece of armor. It'll help us, hopefully, when we think about getting dressed in it. Well, today we are talking about the belt of truth. You know, belts are amazing. They hold things together. Chances are you might have a belt on today. We put them on for a couple purposes. It ties things together. It holds up our pants, our slacks, trousers. It somehow connects things, and it provides support. And so Paul is saying, when you think of a soldier, truth is like a belt around our midsection. It's a belt around our hearts. And when we strap truth to our hearts, let me tell you, you're at the beginning stages of victory in your life because of what truth can do for you personally. And so we're going to talk about the belt in just a moment, but I want to give a couple introductory thoughts. In your notes, Ephesians 6:11, let's read that together. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I want you to know that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. He doesn't step into your life and say, hey, I'm the devil, I'm tempting you. It's not how it works. He's very crafty. He's very cunning. And he seeks to deceive us. He seeks to move us away from what's most important. Now, I want to share with you two simple thoughts of where he will attack your life and mine. They're real simple. Number one in your notes. He will attack you in your area of greatest strength. First one, your greatest strength. Let me explain that. Everybody here is good at something. I mean, you are really good at it. And it's your sweet spot of how God has wired you and you serve other people. Now, here's what he wants to do. He wants to take you out of your game. Let me tell you how he does it. A couple of ways. The first thing he does, he will subtly try to detract you or distract you from doing your particular ministry to help other people. He wants to get us involved with things that aren't that important. So listen, we don't have time to go to church. We don't have time to do that ministry. We don't have time to do this or that. We're distracted because of life itself. But let me give you another example of how he attacks us in our sweet spot. It's called offendedness. Imagine with me, you're in the church family, you're in the flow, and this may have happened to you, and you're doing your best to serve the church family and the community, and you're in your sweet spot. And then somebody says something or does something to you, and it hurts. As a matter of fact, you're offended. How dare that they say that to me? And these are, let me say, these can be from other Christians. They say something and it offends us. It's happened to me. Has it happened to you? You know what the response is when somebody gets offended? The short version, I quit. I'm done. It's over. Don't ask me to do that. I quit. I'm out of here. And you know what happens when we respond that way? The enemy wins. I lose. Let me say this. Offendedness is a big deal in life. Two things. Being offended is inevitable. If you're in the church, if you are in an organization, in your office, wherever it's at, you will be offended as you journey through life. It's inevitable. Okay, follow me. You want to hear the second part? Staying offended is a choice. Staying offended is a choice. It may take me some time to work through it, but I got to get over the I quit, and I got to get back to where my sweet spot is. Now listen, some people, if they get offended, quit coming to church. They quit. You know who wins? The enemy. You know what happened? The enemy took them out of their sweet spot, their greatest strength, what they enjoy doing. You might be here today and you're working through an offense. And you're saying, I don't know if I want to do this anymore because that person said this or that. That's the enemy at work. You know what he wants to do? He wants to neutralize your life and he wants you to quit. If you want to get mad, don't get mad at the person who offended you. Get mad at the enemy who wants to take you out. So he will attack you at your area of greatest strength, and he wants to neutralize you and take you out of the saddle, out of your sweet spot where God can use you. Okay, number two, devil's scheme. He will attack you in the area of your greatest weakness. Everybody has weaknesses. I have them. And so we got to know what they are. And we can get stuck in guilt. Maybe it's a mistake in the past. Maybe it's depression. And the enemy knows something about us. And yet the armor of God is there for us to find victory. It could be an addiction. Whether it's food, money, drugs, sex, pornography, whatever it is. There are many things the enemy wants us to trap us in. And when he does that, it's part of his strategy. It's part of his work. It's part of who he is. So I wanted to share, what's this thing about being attacked? He'll attack you and me at our greatest strength. He will then attack us also at our places of greatest weakness. This fall, I'm hoping that the church family can do a series together on the bait of Satan, John Bevere, and we did this years ago. And it's a study of what do you do when you get offended by somebody? I mean, how do you work through it so you don't get neutralized? And so hope that's coming up this fall, but I think it'll be good for us all to work through that. All right. So today we're talking about the belt of truth. And what I want to do is share with you four simple thoughts of that when you and I put this belt on, or we belt truth into our lives, we belt it around our hearts, we belt it around our entire being, it does something for us. And when we get this and we internalize it, let me tell you, you are living from a place of victory. We talked about that last week. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You know why? He's a conqueror. And when a conqueror wins a battle, they get a special seat or chair or throne. And because he conquered sin and death, overcame it all, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But you know what Paul says? He goes on to say this, we are co-heirs with Christ. And we too are seated in the heavenlies where Jesus is seated. So if you want to live a life of victory, understand you and I can live life from a place of victory, his victory for us, even though down here on earth, we're living in earthly life. Our hearts and our spirits live from being seated in the heavenlies with Christ himself. So as we put on this belt of truth, number one, here's what it does. It will provide a foundation upon which to build your life. It'll provide a foundation. Do you realize that your life is being built on something today? The question is what? And so there's a great story in Matthew chapter 7. It's in your notes. Let's read this text together and we'll talk about it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fail because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Here's what he's saying. Wise man, foolish man. The wise man is like the person who takes the word of Jesus, those words, the truth of God, and builds his life on them. And the foundation is strong so that when the winds come, the storms descend, the house stands. The foolish man does not do that, but rather builds their house on the sand. And when the winds come and the storm descends, it says their life will fall with a great crash. The word of God, the truth of God, gives us a foundation upon which to build our life. Got a picture I want to show you. This is a picture from Turkey. Now, some of you have seen the pictures and you've read about this, but many of the buildings there failed. And there's something called construction amnesties. And what has happened over the years is a contractor would put up buildings and build it not to code, probably cut corners, save some money. And then they would give the government a sum of money that would release them from the liability, and it's called construction amnesty. So you hear about this on the news. This has been going on for years. And so I read where I think at one place they were arresting 113 contractors or they're going to go after him. Some of them have amnesty, some don't. But the point is this, the builder did not build the place according to code. There was a 7.8 and a 7.4 earthquake, two of them. And some of these buildings should have withstood the quake because if they were built to code, they wouldn't have crumbled. But they cut corners, probably to save money. And when the earthquake came, earthquakes, many of them tumbled and crumbled because they weren't built correctly. The same is true of a human life. You see, we set ourselves up for a great crash sometime in life if we do not build it on the words that Christ spoke about who he is and what he can do for us. That is the foundation rock upon which we can build life. And we have to make sure we're building properly, and he is there. Here's a quote. Oh, I guess that's another one, so I'll come back to that. So the first point is this. When we put the belt of truth around our hearts and our waist, it becomes a foundation upon which we build our life. Number two. The second thing that truth will do is this. It will reduce our anxiety and increase our peace. If you and I get truth strapped to our hearts and our lives, it's going to reduce our anxieties and increase the sense of peace. Read with me Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in your notes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God has an exchange program. It's like passing a baton. Paul says, don't worry about anything or get anxious about anything. If you do, you go to prayer and you pass the baton off to him. You somehow surrender it to God. And he says, in exchange, we will experience the peace of God in abundant measure. If there's ever a day and age to get anxious because of the world chaos, today's the day. There's wars, there's shootings throughout America, there's the Russia-Ukraine conflict. You look at what's going on in Turkey and Syria. I mean, it's massive. But listen, he wants you to experience peace even though the world is unraveling. He says this in Colossians 3, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You want to have a greater sense of peace? Listen, you focus on his word, strap that truth to your heart, and you literally will experience peace in a greater degree because your mind is set on things above. We become what we focus on. And if our focus is not on what God promises in his word, let me tell you, we are setting our life up for an incredible crash. I shared this in our life group last Tuesday. This is an amazing passage from Matthew about the end of the age. And Jesus is saying this. He says, watch out that nobody deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but now here's the key statement. But see to it that you are not alarmed. He goes on to say, you know, these things have got to happen, kingdom against kingdom, nations rise up against nation, famines and earthquakes. But in the middle of this text, there's this phrase. He says this, see to it that you are not alarmed. The world is falling apart, but he does not want his children to be alarmed. Isn't that a great promise? You know how we do that? When we build our life on the foundation. And if we get anxious, we go to God in prayer like a baton, give it to him and say, okay, I want to live in peace so that I am not alarmed. Here's a quote. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strengths. So true, isn't it? It doesn't accomplish anything. You know, one last point on or thought on this point. Some time ago, I was at a UHS board training, and the president of Binghamton University was there, and he was speaking about COVID and how the shutdown impacted in-person learning, and they had to go online, and you're talking thousands of students, and that whole journey and the loss of the learning environment. But he made this comment. He said, students today deal with a high level of anxiety. I've heard this before. You talk to people, kids today have a more complicated environment to live in. And the issue of anxiety is very high. And it's not just among young people. I mean, it's among adults as well. But listen, when we think about the armor of God and the truth, the belt of truth, when we get it God's way, we look into his word, it will reduce our anxiety and it increases our peace. Okay, number three. The third thing that the belt of truth does for us is this. It'll keep us strong amidst the challenges of life. Read with me James 1, verses 2 through 4 in your notes. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I want to talk about a muscle that we don't talk about very much. It's called perseverance. Everybody here's got a muscle inside them. It's a muscle of perseverance. And the only way this muscle gets built up, strengthened, gets bulked up, becomes strong, is if it goes through trials and keeps the faith and hangs in there. It's not a fun process. It's painful. But let me tell you, perseverance is what will keep us strong in the midst of the challenges of life. And when you and I take the belt of truth, God's word, we wrap it around our waist, we wrap it around our heart, let me tell you, it will help us build the perseverance muscle to get through life and the struggles that we face. Read with me the next verse in your notes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. I want to draw a point out of this verse. Here it is. You may be here today, and you've been in a pretty heated battle, a struggle of life. And there's only one thing you can do, and that is to stand. Now, I want you to get a picture of what this means. You're not retreating, but neither are you advancing. You're standing. There's times in life where that's all you can do. The battle has worn you down. You're tired, but you can stand. And the armor helps us to stand our ground. Now, I have to say, you may be here today, and this may be the key thought of the entire message. We get in a mindset that we always have to be advancing, climbing, going after it, pursuing, and that's a part of life. But there are times in life where we slow down the machinery of our life. We don't want to retreat. That's backing up. We're not going to retreat. But neither are we going to advance for a season. We're just going to stand still. We're going to stand firm. And if you're here today and you've been in a battle, maybe God's message to you is when you take up your faith and your refuge in him, he just wants you to stand firm. And let me tell you, that's okay. It's okay. There are times in life where we do everything we're able to do, and after you have done everything, you just stand. And that position honors God. And not only that, it will refuel your own emotions and your own physical and spiritual being as you stand, not going backwards and not going forwards. The belt of truth will give us strength amidst the challenges of life. Here's a quote. Every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of a greater or equal benefit. The battle you're facing right now, there's a prize in it. There's a nugget. There's a seed of something called a greater you in it. If you just stand and you continue to work through it. Okay, let's go to number four. The fourth thing that this belt of truth does for us is this. It will set us free inwardly. It will set us free inwardly. Read with me John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I want you to know what truth can do for you. And I have my keys. I got a few of them on my key ring. But truth is a key to a lock in your life. If you are chained or you feel like you're stuck or it's not what you want it to be, you need a key to unlock it. You know what the key is? The truth of Jesus living in us and through us through his forgiveness and his grace. Here's a picture. Oftentimes in life, this is what we feel like on the inside. I mean, this part of life is good, this is good, but there can be one or two areas where we feel chained. And the message is the truth, the belt of truth, when we apply it continually, it's a place where Jesus can come and begin to set us free from the areas where we're chained. Paul put it this way, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So when we strap truth around our waist, around our heart, we get into the Word, we just build our life on it as a foundation. We let it reduce our anxiety to increase our peace. It makes us strong in building up the perseverance muscle. If we stick with it, Jesus says that the purpose of his Word is to bring freedom on truth, on the inner person. So here's a concluding picture I want to go back to. The armor of God. We talked about the belt of truth. And just to summarize, the point is, you and I have to take the truth of God's Word, get in it, read it. We hear it at church and the radio stations and devotionals. And the more we do that, it literally gives us new strength to resist the enemy. And God wants us to live a life of victory. I want to close with a simple story. A little boy was leading his sister up a mountain path, and the way was not very easy. The little girl complained, "Why, this isn't a path at all. It's all rocky and bumpy." Her little brother kept on up the mountain, pausing just long enough to call out to her and said this, "Sure, but the bumps are what you climb on." You're here today, and the armor makes provision for us to climb over the bumps in life. Everybody's got them. Some are more painful than others. Some are hard. But the armor gives us the energy and the power to climb and to move through life so that we can live a life of victory despite all the things that might be going on in her life. So the belt of truth, strap it on. Let God's Word become a part of your life in every area. And when you do that, he gives you foundation, reduces anxiety, increases peace, develops your perseverance muscle, and it will set you free inwardly of the chains that hold us back. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just take a few moments and say, God, I need to buckle truth, the belt of truth, into my life. Maybe in a new way, or you make a commitment to say, I'm going to go after this. I need that piece of armor in my life. So I want you to let him speak to your heart, and he will show you what he wants to do for you. I'm going to walk through these four areas, and you can do your own analysis, your foundation. Have you got Christ in your life? Have you surrendered your heart to him? You can do it today, or you can recommit yourself to him right now. How do you do that? A simple prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my foundation to build my life on from this moment forward. Number two. How's your anxiety level? Do you need to pass the baton off? You need to release it to God? Maybe right now, give him your greatest anxiety and let him give you his peace. Here's the third one. Are you in the middle of a pretty heavy struggle? Believe that he's building your perseverance muscle. And maybe today, all that you can do is just to stand. Stand still. Trust him. Don't move forward. Don't move backward. Just stand and find renewed strength. And lastly, have you got any chains in your life on the inside? Something that's all locked up? You don't have the freedom you want? We all have that stuff. I want you to surrender right now, in this moment, that chain to God the Father right now. Say, God, here it is. I don't like it. I don't want it. But here it is. Just give it to him. And I want you to claim that the truth will set you free. And ask him this. Ask him to give you the key through his forgiveness, his mercy and grace that will unlock that padlock. Just ask him. Father, we thank you for this holy moment where you're speaking to our hearts and you're doing business in our lives and you're transforming us because of your great love. I pray that today you'll help each of us to take heart that through the belt of truth in our life, we can climb over the rocks, the bumpy places in life, because of your amazing empowerment, your love for us, and your grace. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.